Good morning, everybody. Good morning. That gentleman is really awesome. His name is David Sylvester, and he actually has a YouTube channel called, and this song is called Amazing God. I really enjoy his singing. He puts his all into it, you can tell. Now, let's go ahead and pray because I have a lot for you this morning. Lord, we just thank you so much for being able to gather together, Lord. Today, we're very grateful for being able to be together with people that are like-minded. That we still have the opportunity, Lord, to preach the gospel even on the telephone. We're grateful for the opportunity to be with people who see what's going on and who refuse to bow to the beast, Lord. It's very serious, the hour we're in, Lord. We know we can't do this without you. We're very, very dependent upon you, Lord. And how we worship your name this morning. How we praise you this morning, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed to us this end time scenario, Lord, so that we're not swept away by the flood. Our hearts are full of gratefulness this morning. Gratefulness and thankfulness. Lord, we pray on the full armor of God today. We pray on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the garment of praise. And Lord, we receive this full armor of God by faith today. We thank you, Lord, for your armor. And we remember whenever you told Moses to tell the children of Israel when the Passover came, when the pestilence of that day came, and you said, take that animal and use that blood to put on the doorpost of your houses. And then put on your armor and cook this animal and eat this animal. Lord, we remember what you did back then and how you protected your people. And this morning, we recognize and proclaim today on the rooftops across this entire world that you are our Lamb, the perfect, the perfect Lamb that was slain. We know that your blood is what moves mountains. Your blood is what heals. Your blood is what covers and forgives. So we are thankful, Lord, because this morning we're applying that blood on the doorpost of our hearts and on our temples, our bodies. And we accept your Lamb that was slain. How we worship you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I still think about it, Brad. You know, being the book of Revelation. The time that we're in, when John saw into the future and saw, you know, all of heaven reacting to the seals that are being opened in the last days. And the seals that are bringing the judgment to the earth because of mankind and what they've done to God. And I still think about old John. You know, because I've had many visions where I've seen things and I've went to heaven and, you know, in my visions, I stood before the throne, and, you know, all this. So I think about John. You know, when John saw this moment that in heaven there's no one, in the earth, in the sea, in the sky, no one in heaven that is worthy to open that seal. And John cried. He cried. That's how, I mean, you can imagine how impactful that was. That it hurt him so bad that that seal could not be broken. And then the Lamb comes forth. The Lamb of God. And says, I'm worthy. I will open those seals. How John must have jumped for joy. How he must have felt. To see that there's someone that was worthy enough. You're going to learn it in the tabernacle. When we study the tabernacle, it's so amazing. And I think about old John. You know what he saw. He saw all this while he was in prison. And it's just amazing. Because this is the moment we're at right now. You know. Jesus is the Lamb. He's up there working with the 144,000. He's preparing them to come back for their epic battle. He prepared the house for us. He's preparing the wedding reception, the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's preparing the table. You know, he's already taken time to prepare your house. You know, Brock, when he wrote that book and he talked about going to heaven, Jesus took him to heaven. You know, he talked about that all the houses that he saw there were all built according to each person and their likes. God knew what they liked. And Jesus was meticulous in how he designed their houses. Well, he met this woman who was an Asian, and she was, I forgot what country she is from, Malaysia or something like that. And her house had a whole wall that was nothing but a waterfall. And she told Brock that the Lord gave her that waterfall because when she was in the earth, she would go talk to him and pray to him at the waterfall. Isn't that beautiful? And then my mother, who had such a relationship with redbirds, you know, when she was very sick the last 7 years of her life, anybody that took care of her knew this story. All you have to do to know how Mama was is to ask her about the redbirds, because when Mom was not feeling good, the redbirds would sit in her window. So you walk in the bedroom, you say, Mama, how's it going with the redbirds today? I don't see them today. She never knew why we would ask about them redbirds. But it's because we knew how she's feeling based upon how God ministered to her. If she wasn't feeling good, he would have the birds come and sing in her window. So, the week that she died, it was a miracle happened, really. Because she had tons of redbirds at her window every day. And she couldn't understand, why in the world do I have all these redbirds here? And she was feeling fine. I mean, she was sick, but it wasn't like the way they used to come to her window. It was like they just visited her every day. Well, the last day she lived, she stood up. She had her nurse there and my brother-in-law's girlfriend. And She stood up when they wasn't paying attention, and she her legs come out from under her. She fell back and hit her head on the bed. So she had a brain bleed. So they took her to the hospital, and I was hosting a revival. When they called me and said your mama had to be rushed to the hospital, she hit her head. So I had everybody at the revival pray. And then I went to the hospital and was able to spend the last 6 hours with her. She was in a coma, but see, God had already trained me because I had prayed for all these people in their deathbed. That when they're in a coma, they're still alive. You know, it's just that their bodies cannot react to you. But they're in there. They're listening. And so, you know, I had her head and I was singing Amazing Grace. We all sang Amazing Grace. She had her grandkids around her. My brother, he was holding her hand on the other side. And I was singing Amazing Grace to her. And my sister, who had a very estranged relationship. Do you know my mother, in a coma, could have died within an hour or two, but she waited until she heard from my sister. We got her on the phone. She was drunk. She liked to have never answered the phone. Can you imagine this phone call? You're sitting there drinking, and you're sitting there just living your life. And then your family calls and says, hey, we hate to tell you this, but mama's going to die in just a few minutes. You need to say your goodbyes, sister. She's like, what? She couldn't believe it. But we had to tell her, look, this is serious. We've been trying to get in touch with you all night. You know, you need to talk to her. And then she cried and cried and cried. Asking mom to forgive her. Mama held out until she heard from my sister. So I was singing Amazing Grace, and Jesus walked in the room. And I said, Mama, Jesus is here to take you. And then my brother said, Mama, you can go now. And when he said that, she took her last breath. I was able to know that the Lord took my mother. Well, of course, everybody was crying, you know, in the hospital room. This was like 2:00 in the morning. Her grandson, who was not right with Jesus, walks out of the hospital, and about 20 red birds surrounded him. And he cried because he knew that God had sent a message that he had his grandmother. So at her funeral, we had a bunch of redbirds on her casket. And we told the story of Mama and her redbirds. When she buried, we put them down in there with her. So then, you know, that was back in 2017. Then in 2020, Brock had this encounter with God where Jesus took him to heaven and showed him around heaven. You know, this is my son to you guys that are new following me. Brock is my son. And he took him to my mother. And he said her house had so many red birds in it. And she had a beautiful garden. My mama loved gardens. And She told him that she was proud of me. Because in the earth, she used to talk against my destiny all the time. So all of you girls that have mamas that are mean to you, that talk against your life, against you, just pray for them. When people don't understand what God's doing, when they get to heaven, Jesus shows them. She told my son she sees now. You know, she didn't see when she was here because she saw me in my pit. And she saw me suffering with no money when I was serving the Lord, you know, 2013 to 2017 when she died. So she was kind of upset at God because, you know, I had just graduated my master's degree and got back from London and all that stuff. But anyways, the whole point is God knows you as a person. And he's up there right now designing your heavenly home. And when you get there, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a reflection of who you are here. He knows you. And he knows what makes you happy. But while I'm on the subject of Brock in heaven, I have to tell you a few things he said about heaven that was just so fascinating. See, the name of Brock's book is called, I've got it right here, hold on. It's called Heaven Awaits Your Expression, One Man's Breathtaking Experience with Jesus in Heaven. And he talks about how Jesus, the whole point of taking him to heaven was to reveal that we are expressions, every one of us. And like every piece of matter that's ever been created by God is an expression. It has a purpose. And he talked about like gold, when you walk on the streets of gold, it's alive. That when Jesus walks on it, it shakes and trembles. And he talked about how Jesus told the angel to give him a star. So the angel reaches up and pulled a star down. And Brock looked in the star, and the star was glistening. It was glowing, you know. It was because Jesus was looking at the star. The star blew up, you know. It was giving Jesus all the expression it ever had. And they was walking by this tree. And when Jesus got near the tree exploded in excitement. All of the leaves blew out, the flowers bloomed and just exploded with Jesus. That's why I believe that Jesus cursed the fig tree. Because the fig tree refused to recognize who was walking by. So he got cursed. It didn't express itself. So I encourage us this morning to pray in our heart that we in this last day, in this last moment we're in, would be the most beautiful expression to heaven of what God created us to be. I don't want to be anything less than what God meant. I want to do all that he has called me to do. And I want to express the glory of heaven through my temple. And I know you do too. So it's very important. And this is what we're going to do on that first month of Bible college, is work on our identity. Because we have to know who we are in this hour. We have to be equipped. And then the second month, we're going to work on the tabernacle. You know, you can't make it up that I wrote in my journal this morning, and I'm going to read it to you guys. I love my journal. And I'm actually going to make some new journals. This journal that I have here is the We Are the Bride journal. It has a picture of me and Dennis, and we got married in my bridal gown. And this was, you know, for the church, for the We Are the Bride church. But I'm going to make another one for Garden of Eden. And, you know, make it really pretty, a journal for us. And I'm going to make this. There are some books that you'll have to buy whenever we get started. And this is going to be one of them. And you're going to keep a journal of what God's about to do. So anyway, every day I write in my journal. And it's a chronicle of what's happened to me and Dennis since we've been married. And, you know, what's happened on the farm and the ministry and everything. So this morning, I wrote a comparison. You know, ways that God is protecting us right now. You know, this is me and Dennis. Okay, God told me, you know, about 6 weeks ago to get out of the metaverse. Now, look what's happening. The beast is flooding it with AI. He told me to shut down We Are the Bride and Treehouse. And now the UN is wanting to take over it. We Are the Bride. God's telling me to remove all the YouTube channels. And now we discovered last night that AI is twisting channels. Remember the prophecy that came forth by Linda Hashi, and she said that AI was going to begin to take over ministers' channels and act like it's doing stuff, and he's going to begin twisting. Well, I saw it last night, definitely. I did it live in band, and we looked at it and we thought, that is what that is, you know. And what the world, man? What in the world? I keep trying to download that video that I did yesterday. Hold on just a second. You know the video I did, the news, and it has blocked it every time. Hold on a second. All right, let me change this over here. All right, hold on just a second. Okay, let's try this again then. Because it takes an hour to download it so that I can upload it over there on Patreon. Because tonight I am doing part two to the news. I still have a lot more to do. Tonight we're going to get into Trump's new cabinet. Such a farce on an everlasting stick, what he's putting in. All of the Clay Clark people that was traveling, yep, they're all taking over. And it looks like Tucker Carlson's going to be his press secretary. But Clay Clark wanted to be his press secretary. And I'm like, I refuse. I'm just so glad that God is having me bow out. Oh, I need to add that to this list. Resign from White House correspondent. And then I'm going to put in here, farce taking over. I thought surely they would not put that clown. That Clay Clark, he's just so unprofessional. It would just be terrible to have him as a press secretary, because he does all that like he's in a wrestling match, you know. And now, you know. Anyway. All right, so let's see if I got that video downloading. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's see here. So last night, you know, we saw that what AI was doing with ministries. It's terrible. He told me to get out of Google. Now the pass keys are coming. To pull my data out of the clouds. Cyber attacks are coming. Board up our windows because the crazy weather coming and the pestilences. Which we're not actually boarding them up. We are a couple because they need it anyway, but we're just going to have them ready. Okay, he gave me the acronym back in 2015. You know, We Are the Bribe, which is WATB. And do you know that that ended up being WATB.TV, WATB Radio, WATB Nations, and all that other stuff? And that, along with me having a doctor, and along with me, you know, traveling the country so DC knew who I was based on my 2017 tour, what I did for Trump. And so that is what opened the door to the White House. So basically, WATB was the key to what God's assignment was for me, was to put me in the White House so that I could tell the end time church the truth of what's happening. Because God knew I would tell the truth. He tested me when I was 9-10 years old. I told you that story. Okay, now, the next ministry that God's taken me in is called GOEM. You can't make that up. G-O-E-M, GOEM. Did you know that in the Jewish words, in the Hebrew, goim, G-O-Y-I-M, goim, actually means a Gentile, a non-Jew? I was like, you can't make this up. Because I have been one of the biggest voices that I know of that has been really preaching that, you know, that there's only one covenant. You would never think somebody small like me would be one of the big boys. That shows you how bad it is now. There's not many people left teaching that Jesus is the only way to heaven and is not Judeo-Christian, in that vein of Judeo-Christian. Because in that vein, they believe in two covenants. They worship Israel, you know. We can't do that. We have to worship God, you know. The Jews that are Jews and say they're Jews and they're not, are the ones that are going to kill the Christians. That is why what I talk about in my book, Noahide Laws, you know. Thanks to Stephen Yana opening my eyes to a lot of that. And then, you know, so you just can't make it up that it's called Noam or Goam. And then, one other thing I want to tell you guys is kind of shifting the subject, but since I'm looking at my journal, I want to read you a story. Now, you know, I wrote that book called The Adventures on the Farm, you know, which is a children's book. And it tells stories of the animals that we've had on the farm. So I told Dennis this morning, I'm probably ready to write another one. I've got enough stories about our animals now. Well, this is a story of our animal, which is a rooster. And his name is Red. All right, once upon a time, we had this rooster named Red. Now Red was in this flock with another big, white, beautiful rooster. There is 9 other hens. Okay. Now at that time, old Red was pushed around by that white, big, beautiful rooster because that rooster was with these hens from a previous home where we bought them. And when he came here, there was Red. So Red was on the outside the whole time, but he always tried to help him with the flock. So one day we had a critter come in, the old chicken coop, and I mean, in one night, slaughtered everything in the coop. I mean, slaughtered that big old white rooster. You could tell, Dennis said, you could tell that that big white rooster fought hard for his hens. But a raccoon or a group of raccoons come in, slaughtered all of them. It was a bloodbath in there. Well, all that was left was poor old Big Red. Well, Big Red, he was so traumatized, you know, that he would just come to the office. I mean, come to the front of the house. And he would follow Dennis around on the farm, and he was just so sad. You could tell he was so sad. He was really traumatized over it. And at night, he would sleep on the front porch on the top shelf. We have shelves out there. And he would sleep on the top shelf. So Dennis the farmer felt sorry for him and put some cardboard up there and let him just kind of rest. You know, and he liked it there because Misty was his protector. So he lived up there on the front porch for a couple of weeks. Well, one day we come home and we had 9 hens. Lord, how happy that rooster was that he had a flock again. He was so happy. You could just tell it, boy, he was right there by the back of the truck. And when they got out and followed, Dennis took them in there into the chicken coop. You know, the routine is that we lock them in the pen where they can get used to each other and used to the new surroundings before we let them, you know, free range out on the farm. So he got to know them old hens, and boy, he fell in love. He was watching over all them hens, and whenever they would eat, he would let them eat first, you know. And Dennis opened the door and let them go out in the field, you know, he took them around the farm, showed them around the farm, and he loves having them hens. Well, one day Dennis pulls up with 9 more hens. Now he's got 18 hens he's looking out for. Boy, he thinks he is big stuff. They walk all over this farm and they'll, you know, kind of scratch everywhere and eat and all this, you know. Well, old Big Red been getting him a little cocky, Red. He's been trying to attack Dennis now because he thinks he's the stuff. Well, you know, old Dennis, he's been putting no Red in his place. Anyways, I just wanted to share the story of old Red. Maybe I'll post a picture of him with all the pretty pins in band. Okay, Leslie, thank you, sis. All right, so this morning there was something I was wanting to tell you. Something else, hold on. Okay, I got my list right here. Here it is. Now, Dennis was telling me yesterday, he said, I'd like for you to put, you know, is there any way that you can upload videos on YouTube and hide them and then just kind of share the content over on the website? And that way, only the people that go to the website will see it, because he would like for y'all to be able to see the farm, you know, our animals and stuff like that. And I said, all right, so I uploaded 2 videos yesterday on YouTube of Curly, because, you know, Curly's the most famous bull there ever was. He was on that farm years ago when I was at Brock's in Georgia. Okay, Curly was a bull with such an attitude. I have such cool stories about Curly. Do you know YouTube gave me a strike? Now I have a warning, and it was like God was saying, I told you, don't do that. Just get out of Google. Forget about it. I'm like, yes, sir. So I cannot wait to be done with YouTube. Okay. Now, one thing that Dennis and I is noticing is that they really are taking over YouTube. AI is. And I'm going to show you just a few ways. Or I'm going to tell you just a few ways. I showed you last night how these ministers are using AI for their material, which I think is cheating on God. I don't think it's right for people to use AI in ministry, because AI is the beast. So why would you want him creating anything having to do with the true holy God? No, no, no. But that's what they're doing. And so I was showing you, you know, the thing about the AI creations is that they're all, it's crystal clear quality. I mean, it really is awesome, but it's from Lucifer. So why would you want it? Okay, next is they are taking over channels. Last night when I was live showing everybody, the next point I was going to show you is how they've already got worship channels of Trump on there. And they're singing songs about Trump. And so there was a preacher that was saying something, so we clicked on it. And it started showing him preaching. It was a black preacher. And it was showing all of these graphics behind him that didn't even match what he was saying. It was like they were mocking. This AI thing was mocking him. And then the whole channel is in this preacher's name. And then we began to look at all these other videos were like this. It had made a whole channel of this man and nothing but mockery. So it is doing exactly like God told Linda Hashey. It is taking over YouTube. Okay, now, another way that it's taking over YouTube is through Trump. Now, Trump Media is a real thing. He has a company called Trump Media. And what it is they have, and even True News did this, and Fox News, they send out people from their staff and make people think, oh, they had a falling out with me. They go out and start their own channel, but they're all together. Now, most people believe that something's true if it comes out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, just like God says in the Word. But they know this too. So they send out all these people that are speaking all the same things, just like they do in the Council of 13, which is another warning I want to give you guys. They just had their global summit, and now they're all blowing it up where? On YouTube. And they're all giving the same word, but in different ways. These are all the NAR people. So, yes, the AI flood is real, and it is happening right now. Through Trump Media, all his different outlets. Freedom Forest, all their different outlets. NAR, all those different preachers now. I've got a clip I'm going to play you. Actually, let me just go ahead and play it for you right now. See, most people do not even know what the Freedom Forest is. The Freedom Forest are the ones that are deceiving people for the beast, that say everything's in the name of freedom. Anytime you see that word freedom, just have your red flag up and look for other stuff. Now, listen to this preacher. All right, this preacher is one of the heads of NAR. His name is Kent Christmas. Now, Kent Christmas is really famous here in Nashville because he has a wife, which I kind of think their names have to be made up they have to be, you know, some of these names like J.D. Vance, you know, he changed his name to sound really cool. I think that's what these people did, but I can't prove it. But the wife's name is Candy. Candy Christmas. Think about it. And Kent Christmas. Anyway, they're real famous in Nashville because they did a lot for homeless people. They have a homeless, or used to have a homeless ministry, but he sings. And so, or she sings, and then he preaches. Okay, so listen to what he said this week. Listen to this.
God bless you. Be seated. Reflecting on this week, I think I would have to say that we saw the greatest miracle that we have seen in our lifetime. There is nothing that I can think of that exceeds what we saw the Lord do. And this week, as God began to talk to me, the Lord said this was not a political victory. This was a church victory. God said that I have removed obstacles that have impeded. I think that we need to honor the men of God over the last several years who stood their ground prophetically and did not apologize and did not retract. They held on to what they heard the Lord say. And then the prayers, God says the prayers of the church is what moved heaven to do this. Hallelujah. And the Lord says that I judged, and I'm going to be very black and white today. God said, I have judged the wicked in this nation, and I have put a muzzle on them as they have tried to put a muzzle on the mouth of my people. But the Lord says also that judgment and sentence has been passed. But the Lord says consequences are getting ready to be executed in this nation. For God says there has been many wicked things done in this nation, and men have walked away unscathed and says, where is their God? But the Lord says, watch me now, for the gallows that they built to hang my people on, God said, I'm going to hang them on it. And the Lord says, until the second coming of Jesus Christ, and again, until the second coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture of the saints, never again will wickedness dictate and rule and mandate over this nation, saith the Lord. For what I have set in place cannot be reversed. And God said, I did it in such a way that the enemy could not stand and contest it. But I did it in such a way that even my people have had to stand and say, only the Lord could have done this. For this is an hour, saith the Lord, where the prayer of my Son Jesus Christ is coming to pass. My Father who is in heaven, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, saith the Lord. So today, saith God, the court of heaven has dropped the gavel over this nation. And now, saith the Lord, the strongholds that have ruled and rooted themselves into the heavenlies over this country saith, God, I by my own hand have ripped them out of the heavenlies, and I have opened up the atmosphere. For there has been much weariness and much heaviness upon the people of the Lord and the church of the Most High over the last few years, and you've wondered, can we survive and can we make it? But know this, saith God, what you have been dealing with is a closed heaven. For the prince and the power of the air that even opposed Daniel and Michael the archangel have stood in the way, and there have been many things, saith the Lord, that I want to release to my people, but the enemy has hung them up in the heavenlies. But by my own hand, saith God, Tuesday night I stuck my hand in the middle of the domain of the king of the ages, who said we rule, but the king of kings and the Lord of lords ripped the heavens open. Now watch me, saith God, everything that's been hard is going to be easy, for I have removed the opposition, I have removed the strongholds. Before you can get it out of your mouth, saith God, while it's still in your heart, God said, I will say, let it be, and you will say, Lord, what is this? And God say, this is the creative power of the Lord. I warned them, saith God, touch.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this? This is what they are telling the church. And then the Lord gave me this word this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And he said, let me find the scripture here. Verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you shall say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? And this is what he says. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not nor comes to pass, that's the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now that's what he was saying in the first part of his word, or whatever you want to call it, is that all these prophets back in 2020 that, you know, said that he was going to be president in 2020 are vindicated now, because maybe they just had the timing wrong. Well, he's actually talking about Jeremiah Johnson, because Jeremiah Johnson was the only one that renounced his prophecy and actually repented to everybody for saying the word and then it being wrong, and then he turned around and repented that he must have heard God wrong. He's the only one that actually, you know, confessed that he did wrong here. Hold on a second. Hello? Yes. Yes. Thank you, guys. That was a local business here in town that I was doing something for Dennis. Okay, what was I saying? Something? Remind me, Stephanie, what was I saying? Cannot remember. I guess I'll just move on with the scripture. I cannot remember. Okay, so one other thing that I thought about, you know, when it talks about saying things that did not come to pass type of deal, is right now that Celestial on YouTube is really being bastard, you know, because she said that Kamala was going to win. And so everybody's like, okay, well, that showed us who she is, you know. But that is just an example. And I will tell you this. We're going to see, I think, a whole lot more. Well, like this, all these NARA people. Oh, I was talking about Jeremiah. Okay. Johnson. Yeah. Oh, that's what I was saying. Okay. See, so Jeremiah, so he repented to everybody, you know, that he had spoken it wrong. But see, he's also the one that gave that word that said that when Trump comes back the next time, the hammer's going to come down. He's going to be a dictator. Well, he has come under a lot of fire from NARA for doing that, speaking against Trump. So now he flipped, and now he's completely on the it's sad. He's on the Trump train. When you look on YouTube, all you see is him propping Trump. It's really sad. But anyway, all right, so let's get back to chapter 18. Now, this really is kind of the Lord talking to me about my role with you guys, because he's always told me I'm a Levite, and, you know, that I'm like the priest to you guys, you know, where he uses me to speak to you and whatnot. Well, he confirmed it the other day because when he said, you know, to get rid of WATB and Treehouse and to bring in this other one, he said that I was an ambassador to the natural government and then an ambassador from the government back to the people. But now I'll be an ambassador over to the heavenly government and then back from the heavenly government of what he's doing there in heaven back to here. So I am really excited about when I finish news is when this is going to kick in. I'll be glad to be done with that, to get into heavenly things and, you know, to press in more towards, you know, God's kingdom. It is really hard doing the news because I have to focus so much of my attention onto the beast. And I just got to where I just don't have a taste for it anymore. Ever since that 3-day fast kind of broke it for me. You know, which I am thankful for it, but I still have to deal with it for the next few weeks. So y'all just pray with me that I keep my heart pure through this. But anyway, so in the way that the children of Israel were, when they got their inheritance, you know, there's 12 tribes. And so one of them is the Levites. And the Levites was not able to get an inheritance. Their inheritance was God. And that's how I am with God. He takes care of me. I'm utterly dependent upon him, you know, for care, to take care of me. And he has this whole time, you know. But anyway, so let's read this. It says, the priest, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. In other words, they're treated different. They get a different inheritance type of deal. In other words, don't expect to be like the rest of them. You're called to be different type of deal. And this shall be the priest's due from the people. Because God told me on day one, whenever I surrendered all, he said, because remember, I just got back from London and had a master's degree in corporate communications and had big plans for my life. And the Lord told me, he said, you will not work for another employee. You work for me. I'm your boss. He said, you take care of my people and she will take care of you. And that has stood the test of time. It's been 12 years and they have taken care of me. Houses, cars, clothes, you know, all this. And so that's what he's saying right here. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder, the two cheeks, and the maw. So the way that the tribes would do it is they would take their offering, and when they bring it to the temple, not only did they have to bring it to the temple, you know, to God, but they had to give a tenth, their first fruits, to the priest because they honored the priest. The first fruit, see, it says right here in verse 4, the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shall y'all give him. For the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all the tribes to stand, to minister in the name of the Lord and his sons forever. And if a Levite comes from any of the gates out of all Israel where he sojourned and comes with all the desire of his mind into the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God as all his brethren, the Levites, do, which stand before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat beside that which comes from the sale of his patrimony. When thou art come into the land which the Lord God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. This is God talking to the children of Israel. This is us, all of us. We are not to adopt the practices of the people, which means we are not to be swept up by culture. We're to remain pure. We're to remain in our bridal dress. You know, I like, even for men, I know we've, oh, he signed off here. No, there he is, Raymond. I know there's men on here. And when I say bridal dress, it actually means men too. It's kind of a strange thing. But we all have to keep our garments. Let's just put it that way. We have to keep our garments white and clean and pure. And I'm going to use this as an example again. All of you that are married, but the same applies even if you're single and married to the Lord. Because you're all married. Whether you have a physical husband or not, you're all married. So I like to give this example of me and Dennis because I've been transparent with you about our relationship and whatnot. Is there was one time that Dennis hurt me real bad. And it really caused me to pull away from him. And, you know, before that, you know, we was really close and intimate, you know, tight. And a pure love. I've never had love before. So it's really a beautiful thing. But because he hurt me, I felt this blot in my heart. And I actually came to him a couple hours later and I said, Dennis, I need to tell you something. And this one thing I love about Dennis is the way that he will listen to me. He never dismisses me. And I tell him, Dennis, I need to tell you something. He said, what? I said, I have a blot in my heart against you, Dennis. I'm very hurt over what you did. And it's caused, I feel this blackness. It's weird because I've never had, see, the Lord told me whenever I married Dennis, he said, I want you to treat Dennis, I want you to love Dennis the way you love me. I said, what? Because, you know, I obey the Lord in the craziest things. I'm a servant. I'm his servant, you know. And he said, I want you to treat him like you treat me. He said, he is going to take care of you like I take care of you. And so when I look at Dennis, I see a visual representation of Jesus, you know. But that hurt in my heart caused a blackness to come in, offense, see. Like I told y'all about my Snookum's book about what happens whenever people get offended. It's a spirit that comes in their heart, and it causes a blackness. It goes down, it clogs up the roots so that they can't receive from the rivers from heaven, which is what makes our fruit grow on our tree. But I felt this blot, you know, in my heart. And you know, Dennis, he cried. He repented. He quickly repented. And this is what we have to do whenever we're confronted. Just even if you don't understand or think that you're right, just quickly repent. Just quickly say, well, please forgive me. You know, some people, it will make them mad, because I've done that to people when they come to me and they're all mad at me and stuff. I say, well, please forgive me. I mean, because what can you say? Obviously, you may think you're right in your mind, but you've hurt them. So in their heart, you have offended them. So you just shut the devil up and just say, I repent, you know. But anyways, ever since he repented and I said with my mouth, Dennis, I forgive you, that blot left. But reading this scripture, and as talking about how God wants us to be remain separate from the world, you know, it's like that blot. We have to keep the blots out. We have to keep, you know, that standard and that purity, you know, we have to keep a distance there. Okay, so let's continue in the word here. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and comes with all the desire of his mind into the place where the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, beside that which comes from the sale of his patrimony. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God has given thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or use divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Now, I'm going to give you an example of divination. I met a black guy one time, and he went to college with me. And he was telling me that his parents told him when he turned 18 to go to the doctor and proclaim a sickness so he can get a disability the rest of his life. And I said, that is what they told. He said, yeah, they told me all the way up until I turned 18 that I would be doing that so that I could get a check the rest of my life. I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, if you're doing that, you're labeling yourself. You know, because I believe that, you know, we have to be very careful how we, what we partner with, and we slap these labels on us, you know. I tell you guys all the time, we cannot come in agreement with death. To me, that is death. You're putting a death curse over your life. You are slapping poverty over your face. You know, you're not trusting God to provide for you and to take you into the more. See, the favor of God is it's beyond money. You know, I keep telling people this. The favor of God is the open doors. It's the mysteries that God reveals. It's the prophetic. It's, you know, there's so much to wealth. It's not all about money. And this is where people have to shift their focus out of the natural earth way of riches Because right now, let me read you this now that this came up about riches. This woman sent me a text message, and she had a very good point I would love to read to you guys about being wealthy, okay? She says, listening to Sunday's sermon, T is absolutely setting the stage for the false millennial reign of the beast. It will be a time of amazing prosperity and peace for those who enter the system. It won't be like the Masonic Left Behind series. We have been conditioned to think it will be awful, but Satan beguiles, seduces, and look at NAR preaching their wealth transfer. Deception is so deceptive. It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and a whole bunch of church folk are going to get real, real wealthy. Isn't that something? They're going to get all wealthy and think everything's prosperous and wonderful, but they have just walked right in the beast. And see, this is, me and Dennis was talking about this morning. This is why God said the ark door is shut. You won't be able to tell these people nothing anymore because they are going to be so, sold into this prosperous. And how are they going to be prosperous? By going into this beast system. And after what we read last night in the news, it probably won't be for another year and a half because we discovered last night that Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are working together, and they are going to be the head of the Doge, the Department of whatever it's called. Okay. Now, the reason I believe they have Vivek with him is because Elon doesn't talk very well, and Vivek is an excellent orator. It's kind of like a Moses with his right-hand man. Now, Vivek is from India. He is, the pharmaceutical king, and they are getting ready to bring in the global ID. So they may over the next year and a half make it very prosperous and look like everything's very good. And, they're going to parade on the streets all this patriotism and make the people who were warning look so stupid, because all of them are prospering. He really did make it great again. But they just can't see the forest for the trees. This is where the remnant's going to come in. And what a farce on an everlasting stick. I have been preaching under the anointing. How long has it been muted, sister? How long has it been quiet? Man, the devil is a liar. He must have muted it on me. Good. Whew, just a minute. Praise God. Beverly said 2 minutes. Oh, man, I was just preaching up a storm about Elon and them. Y'all missed all that about Elon? Man. All right. Oh, you was frozen too, so maybe it wasn't just me. So you missed it about Elon. Well, let me start over then. What a farce on an everlasting stoop. Okay, let me start out. All right, so what I was saying was, you got Elon over here with Vivek Ramaswamy. I believe it's like Moses who could not speak good with his right-hand man, Vivek Ramaswamy, who is an excellent orator. Now, Vivek, he is the pharmaceutical guy, okay? So he's the one that's working with the V. Elon is the one bringing in the everything app. So they're working together with the country of India, which is where Vivek is from. And they are going to be, over the next year and a half, deregulating the government to pieces. Now, how weird is this? That they're going to put in a Satanist, that everybody knows a Satanist, Elon. And they're going to put him in over our government. You just can't make this up. And then they're going to let him deregulate everything and get rid of departments, shift everything around, deregulate everything, and do what he wants to do. And nobody's going to say nothing. No media is going to say nothing. Congress ain't coming against them or nothing. You cannot make this stuff up. You cannot make it up. Why is that? Because all of the media in the world has been sold out. They all are owned by the same people. So they're going to do what they're going to do. Okay? And these people are going to get swept up in this flood of misinformation, deception, and propaganda. And that is what's happening on YouTube right now. This is why I told you guys on the last fast back in September. The time has come to exit the metaverse, which means we're not going to be able to get on there and have our eyes piercing all of the different things that we used to. When we used to go down the rabbit trails and, you know, research this and research that, those days are over because of the way that they're flooding it with lies and deception. And so, okay, so going back to the divination is manipulation. Manipulation is as the sin of witchcraft. We have, what y'all are seeing on the world stage right now is witchcraft on a stick. It is witchcraft like you wouldn't believe. And let me tell you something. They use witchcraft in the government. Yes, they do. When I was up there and I was the captain of the U.S. Capitol and I prayed over the Capitol for 3 months, I had to battle a whole coven of witches that were granted space by the Capitol. And they had a room dedicated just for witches. And they were in this room that pointed to the Capitol. And they could look out the window and speak curses over the church, which they do every day, and over any law that pertains to our God. And there is a war going on, a divination war. And this is why it's an abomination to God. You know, any observer of times, an enchanter or a witch, a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard. We're on verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before him. He can't stand them. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord your God. For these nations which you shall possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not suffered you to do so. So God is telling him, look, you're going into a land of milk and honey. But the people that were there before you were evil, evil people. So, in other words, you're going to be confronted like we're confronted in our day with evil, evil people. These are people that actually live their life to dedicate to Satan. And we're seeing the Antichrist come to his throne. And this is somebody that is overtaken with Satan and all of Satan's will. We're talking Antichrist in nature. Against our Christ, the true and living God. Verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you of your brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you hearken, according to all that you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, which I wrote above it, an average Joe, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I have commanded him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto the words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. In other words, okay, like when you're a prophet and you speak what God is telling you to say, you cannot worry about how the people are going to receive it. You have to be past that. Yes, I agree, Leslie. There is a lot of blind people today. Yes, ma'am. We have to give seeds to other people, Bride. You have to just give, like Dee, you know, I don't think she's on here this morning, but you know, she was talking about what happened with her pastor. And, you know, she went and told her pastor the truth, but she can't control him. And what did he do? The next week, he come out there with a celebration directly opposite of what she had warned him about. He made his choice, didn't he? But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shall say in your heart, how shall we know your word which the Lord has not spoken? And verse 22, he says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not or doesn't come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. So then you don't have to fear him anymore because he spoke it presumptuously. All right, now turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms. And we're going to go to chapter 42. That's where he told me to go this morning. Psalm 42. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And I long to worship you. Blessed is he that considers the poor, The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. Oh, sorry, wrong scripture. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? See, I kind of see this as that last scripture where God said, listen, all you Christians, this is what he's saying to you right now. Listen, people. You are in a very evil, wicked world. And you see a lot of occultists out there, Satanists, diviners, people doing times, charms, all that kind of vomit. But God is saying, come out from among them. Come out. Don't participate in their events. Don't, which I think goes back to the voting as well, but don't take on their culture anymore, because the United Nations has taken over. This global unity, this global beast image is taken over. So he's saying, pull out. Don't do that. And in the next scripture, he gives us come out of that depression, June. Come out of that. Hope yourself in God. We have hope, June. Don't believe this lie of the devil that's speaking in your ear and lying to you. No, no, no. Praise him with all that you are, June. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Verse 6. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of Hermonites and of the hill Mitzar. In other words, I will remember the goodness of God. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All your waves and billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life, I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say daily unto me, where is your God? Remember the story I told you when I was in the press corps and the guy from the Washington Post looked over at me and he said, where is your God? I said, what do you mean? He said, didn't you say you was a Christian organization? I'm like, yes. He said, then where is your God? Why do you only have a few phones and don't have a big camera like NBC over here? And then I looked at him, boy, with all this righteous indignation. I said, sir, let me tell you something, young man. I said, you know that camera right there at NBC? I used to have one like that. And God told me to give it to another minister when I was on the road just a couple of weeks ago. I said, let me tell you something. My God gives me houses and gives me cars, clothes, and everything else. So when he wants me to have that big camera, he will give me that big camera. He goes, I've never had nobody talk to me like this. Like he was funny. It was like he was offended that I defended God the way I did. I told him, I said, you just watch and see what God's going to do. Y'all know the next week I walked in with the new camera. God did it. Yes, he did. All right, let's continue here. We're still on Psalm chapter 42. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So that's going to be the name of this sermon today. Hope thou in God. Yes, Lord. Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I serve the King of Kings. I serve the Lord of Lords. I serve the God of creation, the great I am, El Shaddai. He is my God. He is my rock. He is my provider. He is my everything. Oh, you can't hear me, sis? He is my God. I will not fear. I will have faith. I trust in my God, and I will proclaim it today. I will not bow to fear. I will trust in my God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And all them that rise up against me shall fall. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I will go forward with Jesus by my side. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Lord, I thank you for your encouraging word this morning. I thank you for encouraging us, Lord, that to not adopt the worldly ways, to not get sucked into the social pressure of the day, Lord, but to trust in you and to follow your precepts and commands, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we are in the army of the living God. And I thank you that you're the one that equips. You're the one that calls. You're the one that goes forth. You're the one that sends the assistant. You're the one that gives us all of our equipment that we need for the battle. You know all of it, Lord. We just have to trust in you. And that's what we're doing today, Lord. We are trusting in you. We praise your holy name today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. I'm going to open up the prayer lines, but I do have to... Oh, hold on.